Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You know, it's a great day when we're coming out of the 11 o'clock hour with a little Queens of the Stone Age. We're hanging out at Pluckers and Allen, and we are ready to go. And KT's homeboy, Wee Wee, showed up. He's our mailman at the station. Got him a G-bag flag. He's ready to get his Tolo lunch on out here at Pluckers in Allen. This is my spot. Love this place. We're going to be having lunch here. Been out today and tomorrow taking care of his sweet wife, Kat. Been a lot of good messages at the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. 877-881-1053 is a lot of nice Tolos wishing Kat well.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so let's now go out to the star. We're standing by is our good buddy, David Hellman, who once worked at Pluckers himself. How are we doing today, Dave?
Hey, y'all. Yeah, I sure did. Every time you do these shows from Pluckers, it makes me pretty jealous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and we were ashamed that you weren't able to make it out to Tender when we talked to you on Tuesday. By the way, this exchange with Dave is brought to you by Ford, the best in Texas. So what are bye weeks like for you guys at DallasCowboys.com?
They're a little chill. We're still here. I love when people assume that because the team is off, we're not doing anything. That couldn't be further from the truth. But it's a little more chill during the bye week. The locker room's going to open here in like 45 minutes, and hopefully when that's over, we'll be able to get out of here kind of early. And I think we actually have a 4-day weekend because there's not a lot going on Monday either. So we've been here all week, but we are going to take off pretty early, and I, for one, am very excited about it.
Any big weekend plans, Dave?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go to Baton Rouge. LSU's got a big game with Auburn. Can't wait. If they're playing a game during the Cowboys bye week, I usually try to go. So I think this is the third or fourth year in a row I've made that happen.
I figured you would be there. What are your early thoughts on that game? 2:30, it's the big game of the weekend. Number 9, Auburn. Number 2, LSU. Mm. Now, I know you're going to be biased because you're an LSU guy. But what are your thoughts on that game? Because that's going to be a fun game. We'll be watching it at Texas Live for Fanniversary.
Their D-line scares me. I know they got a lot of draft picks on their D-line, so hopefully LSU's O-line comes to play like they did against Florida, but a true freshman quarterback playing at Tiger Stadium in a national game like that, I think that'll make a big difference. I mean, I'm sure there will be dicey moments, but I think LSU should win by, 14, 17 points.
14, 17, so 10 and a half, I'm good.
Absolutely. They covered against Florida.
Yeah.
Ed Orgeron is honestly really good at covering. Like, LSU under Ed has been very impressive covering the spread.
They haven't let me down yet. And we got to talk about Joe Brady, too, right?
No.
The guy that came in and
we don't need
offense.
To talk about Joe Brady because
what's going to happen with him? Because he's not going to be there forever. He's going to get a head coaching job.
We need people to not know about him so he can stay at LSU forever.
They're going to know about him because you're winning the national championship. I know you probably don't want to hear that.
Don't say
I'm
that.
I'm telling you. No. KT will tell you, I've been saying this for weeks.
Yep.
This is the team. This is y'all's year.
Forget the national championship. For 10 years, every year we lose to Bama, and I say, never again. I'm not going to let myself believe we can beat Alabama until it happens. And then every year, right around Halloween, I'm like, this could be the year. This is it. And that's how I'm feeling right now. And I just know in 2 weeks I'm going to be devastated.
You need to let yourself love again, David. So what happened around here, for the longest time, people just checked out on the Mavs. They're like, you know what, screw it. Screw this. And then 2011 happened, and it was the most sportsgasmic experience of everyone's life. You need to learn to love again. You need to embrace.
I've been hurt so many times, though, Skin.
That's okay, man.
I've been
That's
hurt.
Okay. All you do when you get hurt again You drink some red wine and eat some donuts and listen to sad music. Maybe watch a French film. It's okay.
You know, I've actually I thought about you. I've been I guess this is my seventh season covering the Cowboys, so I've been living in DFW for a while. And last night, I believe, is the first time I've ever gone out of my way to turn on the Mavs, like on purpose. I guess I did that for Dirk's farewell game too, but
right.
You
answered a question that we had at the top of the show, which is, look, I know that I'm horny for basketball at all times, so I don't count. But we were wondering how many people were excited or trying to pay attention or dial in on what's going on with the Mavs. And I think that you're a great example of what we were talking about. We got a lot of text messages at 877-881-1053 where people were like, yeah, man, I paid attention last night. I normally don't give a crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not from here. I'm not a big NBA guy anyway, but Luka's awesome. KP, like, this is as much hype as I can remember for the Mavs in the time that I've lived here. Obviously, I got here after the championship, but from 13 until now, yeah, it seems like people are really hyped. And I got home last night and I was watching the World Series too, but I was like, hell yeah, let's check it out and see what Luka's doing.
Well, I also think, Dave, that you would really love the petty Twitter world of the NBA.
Oh,
like,
my
that's
God.
Very good.
Oh, I live for NBA Twitter. It's NBA is like maybe my fourth biggest sports interest, maybe, but like NBA Twitter's amazing. I love, you know, the players are petty and they're not afraid to speak their minds, and
yeah,
you know, the highlights are on. It's Twitter, social media makes it so easy to follow the NBA without actually watching the games. So
yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's the first great Twitter sport for sure. By the way, if you want to go meet a Dallas Cowboy, go to the AAC on Friday night, November 1st, because you guys don't play until Monday. And as the Lakers play the Mavericks, I can guarantee you 50% of the team will be there.
Ooh, that's a that's a good bet.
Whenever my experience is, whenever LeBron shows up, Cowboys are all over the place.
And that, yeah,
I mean,
so
they are.
It's a Friday night for a Monday night game, so Saturday's practice will be really relaxed. And, you know, the team doesn't travel till Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, I would bet you're right. There's going to be a lot of Cowboys at that game.
Zeke will be sitting at midcourt. There's usually two or three games a year where you'll look up and Zeke is shoving nachos in his face at midcourt. So you will see that on November 1st. Speaking of Zeke, that was obviously a incredible performance from him, and we had spent some time talking about, you know, Zeke lost a step and all this and that. Where are you on the whole Zeke pendulum? You know, how he's been basically since his rookie year when he was at his fastest, what he showed us this weekend, and what your kind of expectations are for the remainder of the season?
Well, just for starters, I thought, I've said this a few times, I thought his game against the Eagles was one of the best that he's played in recent memory, honestly. And, you know, his long was only 14 yards, but he just set such a tone, and he just looked pissed off. Like, every single run, he was taking it to him. He was finishing forward. He was bulldozing guys. Like I said, I thought it really set an example and a tone for the whole team. You know, he went over 100 yards and scored a touchdown against what was the second-best run defense in the league, and a defense that has been able to limit him at times over the years. So I thought it was great. I do, you know, people kind of dissect it like it's the Zapruder film. I don't know if it's that he's lost a step or that the amount of work that he gets has worn him down. I do think at this point it's a valid criticism that he doesn't break those dynamic runs that you see from the likes of Saquon Barkley or pre-injury Todd Gurley. You know, it seems like it's been a while since he had a run that went longer than 25, 26 yards. That would be fun. But it feels kind of like nitpicking because, you know, NFL coaches typically designate 12 yards or more as an explosive run. And the last time I checked, he's leading the league in that category.
Wow.
He's ripped off plenty of 10 to, you know, 15, 16-yard runs over the course of the season. And if he's doing that on a consistent basis, then the game-breaking stuff is just a cherry on top. You know, I'm not going to kill the guy for not doing that when he's doing everything else so well.
Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
The Cowboys are the blank best team in the NFC.
Okay. Real quick off the top of my head, I mean, you can't say they're better than the Packers or the Saints. They lost those games.
I mean, I'm going to say it, but you do what you got
to
do.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Which, you know, lost to a Saints team that didn't have Breeze. He's on his way back. So definitely behind those two, I would say probably San Francisco and Seattle. I would put above the Cowboys right now.
Okay.
Where's that? So that puts them at five right now?
Five, yeah.
That sounds about right. You know, the Rams look like they're kind of in disarray, a lot like the Cowboys have been at times. Like, I don't necessarily trust that they are better. I know the Vikings are on a roll right now, but I refuse to trust Kirk Cousins until further notice. Obviously, the Cowboys have a game against them in a couple weeks, so we'll get to see.
Sure.
But, yeah, fifth. I'll put them somewhere around fifth. That seems fair.
Did an exercise this morning. Remember your old buddy, John Machota?
Yeah, my guy.
Oh, crap.
Let's look at the schedules and break it down.
Sounds just like him.
So we were talking about the Eagles and the Cowboys schedule, kind of running through it, and we're kind of doing our little projections. And one thing you'll quickly notice about the Cowboys schedule, it is pretty difficult the entirety of the rest of the way through after the Giants game. One thing you notice about the Eagles is it's pretty tough, really tough, until December. Like, the Eagles have a chance to take December off. Just kidding, not take it off, but they got a really good chance to go 5-0 or 4-1.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do.
Who do they play in December?
It is a combination. I said I had it in front of me. I'm pulling it up in front of me.
Liar.
It's a combination of the Dolphins, two with the Giants.
Okay.
One with the Cowboys in week 16 and the Redskins.
I think the Dolphins will be peaking by then.
When we were doing it kind of game by game for both teams, we ended up with the conclusion of, man, week 16 in Philadelphia, that's going to be it. That's going to be the one.
I mean, hearing that, yeah. I was actually wondering the other day, I was like, when are the Eagles and Giants going to play? Like, it feels like it would have happened by now. Wow, that's crazy that it happens twice in December.
So right now I think we would probably say that the Seahawks are probably better than the Rams right now, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll see. Long way to go. Sure. The Rams can get it figured out. But because the Eagles finished second place in the division last year, they will play the Seahawks in a couple weeks. Because we won the division last year, we will play the Rams. There's a couple games on the back end of the Cowboys' schedule that make me a little nervous. And it's because it's two teams who I don't think are going to go away, but I think are going to be fighting and scratching and clawing for their playoff life. Mm-hmm. And that's Bears in December in Chicago, and it's the Rams, I think, which is about a week after, if I'm looking at it, it's about a week or two after the Thanksgiving Day. No, yeah. So so here's the Cowboys schedule. At Giants, then they have the Vikings, which right now, we'll see how serious the Thielen.
We'll see, but that's a home game.
Home game, need to go get it. At Detroit, at New England, Buffalo on Thanksgiving. You can't slip up against Buffalo and Detroit.
Huh. Yeah, but I mean, you say slip up, but the Bills are 5-1. And granted, of that is against bad teams, but, you know,
that is not
a bad team.
No, they're not a bad team at all. But, you know, my position on all this is, and I want to get your opinion on this too, it's really the attitude you bring into these things. If you're pessimistic about your team, okay, I get it. But to play the Bills on a short week at home, you need to expect to win that game, because I've watched games where the Bills played and they have zero shot of getting the ball in the end zone. Like, when they go up against good teams, which the Cowboys are a good team, they need crazy-ass special teams and defense plays to score points. They went like 2.5 quarters without really putting up any points against Miami.
I hear you, Skin, but at the same time, like, we said all that stuff about the Jets, and then they went out and bombed away on this Cowboys defense. So I can't take anything for granted right now.
That's fair. I mean, I think that's fair. I think that there's things that we saw in that 3-week stretch that are not –
yeah,
the best characteristic of what this team is. But, you know, let's go full Parcells. You are what you are.
I absolutely, you know, watching that Eagles game is, I'm like, this is what this team is capable of being. And, you know, the Eagles have struggled. I get that. It might not be the best competition right now, but they're capable of doing that type of stuff when they play up to their potential. But
that's it.
They
right.
need
that's
I it. And I need to see it more consistently, though. I need sure. you know, it's hard to say, oh yeah, well, they can beat the Bills on a short week when they couldn't beat the Jets on a regular week.
Yeah, no, I think all of that is fair, but I think your bottom line, the way I evaluate the team, is what is this team capable of? How good is this team? And then it's up to them to reach their potential. You've watched teams where you go, we have got zero chance of running the ball, or we have got zero chance of stopping the other team. I don't watch this team and see that. To me, it's more like, are they going to play to the best of their abilities? Are they going to be healthy enough to play to the best of their abilities? Yeah. Because I don't disagree with any of the teams that you put ahead of them in the NFC, but I don't think it's some big chasm they can't overcome. You know, I just think the difference in the best team in the NFC and the difference in the Cowboys is health and who plays the best football that day. I don't think it's like they're overmatched by any of these teams that you're talking about.
I think I would agree with that. I think, I mean, they're right there, and with full health and the right breaks, I think they can beat anybody in the NFC. But that's just the NFL in general. I mean, looking at, you know, you look at those last nine games. I know KT just read most of it off. You take, you know, again, how neck and neck the NFL is in general, and then how inconsistent the Cowboys have been. I feel really confident they can beat the Giants on Monday Night Football when they get back from this bye. But the other eight games after that, if they can put together a winning streak against like a long winning streak like last year, I'm talking four, five, six or more games. If they can do that against that schedule, it will be very, very, very impressive.
They need help, too. Let's see if the Eagles can get upset by the Bills this week.
That would
actually
be nice.
Upset. Wait, the Bills are 1.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say, forget the upset. We just need the Bills to handle business.
All right, great stuff, Hellman. Love talking to you, brother. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Have fun this weekend. Go Tigers.
Yeah, dude. I want him to embrace that love. I want him to feel that love. In fact, I want him to talk. I want him to listen to the segment we're doing next, because we will do our college football preview next right here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Thank you very much, Shippy. I love this song. And now it's time for the college football preview. And I'll be watching a lot of this college football with you guys over at Fanniversary at Texas Live this Saturday.
Yes.
Noon to 4 p.m. We've got good games. I've put the times on these games here on my notes right here so we can all have an idea of what games we'll be watching as we hang out. And hope to see everyone at Texas Live Saturday afternoon, noon to 4. Lots of great guests. Jalen Smith will be there. Chris Woodward, Willie Calhoun, Ed Belfour. My goodness. And
that's a party, dude.
Many, many more. And, of course, all your favorite fan hosts and personalities.
Are you going to go?
I'm going to be there. Yeah, I was just saying that. Yeah.
Okay.
Just kind of getting to that.
I just tuned in. I just got in my car.
Now, we will start football slate for the week with a very interesting one. We got a college football game tonight, guys.
Oh, we got a good one tonight.
We got an interesting one. I don't know if it's going to be a good one, but it's an interesting one.
It's one that we should really care about, dude.
Number 18, SMU at Houston.
Yes.
Now, interesting thing going on here. Obviously, SMU's, and I said number 18. I guess in the AP poll, they had jumped up to 16, I believe.
Okay.
But
all the money line, by the way, was on SMU. It opened at 11, and now it's at 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because there's quarterback issue going on with Houston. Now, Derek King was their quarterback, who then basically took the red shirt four games into the season and was like, nah, I'll save it.
And a receiver did it with him, too.
Receiver
didn't the top
did it
receiver?
With him too.
Yeah, what a weird
so
story.
So the quarterback now, he was injured last week, but the starting quarterback likely tonight is Clayton Toon. Clayton Toon is the younger brother of Nathan Toon, who was my college orientation roommate at the University of North Texas.
That's not where I thought you were going to end up with
Nathan
that.
Toon, a legend in Salina, for leading the Salina Bobcats to a state title back in when he was in high school.
That was 1A?
So he was a friend of mine. My first go to UNT, and they give you the random roommates.
Uh-huh.
It's like Turner Tune, T-U-E.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my roommate. Now, like, he's like, hey, what are you at school for? I'm like, I'm, you know, trying to do the whole broadcasting thing. What do you do? So, oh, I'm playing football. I was like, okay. All right,
cool. Did you reach out to him for tickets to the game tonight?
I haven't talked to him in probably 5 or 6 years.
Shippy, can you get him on the show?
Yeah.
Great guy. Now, get this, though. Last week, your winning quarterback for Houston against Connecticut, Logan Holgorsen.
Ah.
The son of head coach Dana Holgorsen.
Yes.
So, and it sounds like after getting that win, Dana is going to bench his son and let Clayton Tune go back to starting. So,
wow.
Pretty
this is,
awesome.
Yeah, that's some good insight on this game.
Did we just get some Holy Mac delivered?
I don't know if that is that us or you, Big Dong Steven? Yeah, I think we just got his Holy Mac.
Let's say 11 a.m.
By the way, man, Cuban said it yesterday. The fried pickles at Pluckers are stupid good. Stupid good. Back to you, Kevin.
So, you know, Texas Live again, noon to 4. I'm probably going to get there a little early because I like watching college football. Let's talk about the 11 a.m.
I'll join you there.
So where will we be kind of watching these games? 11
Shippy, are you going?
Yeah.
11 a.m. on Fox.
What else would I do?
Number 13, Wisconsin at number 3, Ohio State.
Oh, this is a biggie. You think Ohio State's going to be in the national championship game, don't you?
That is my prediction.
Yeah.
You are predicting LSU. I'm predicting Ohio State.
Give me LSU.
This game would have been so much cooler if Wisconsin would have just held off Illinois last week.
Yeah.
Because then we'd be talking about number 6 versus number 3.
But you do have Wisconsin coming back into this thing with like a little something to prove, you know.
Not really.
Oh.
I got Ohio State covering this by 14.5, personally. But no. That's just me.
Screw you.
Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State. I forgot who I was talking to the other night. They put a little money on him to win Heisman before the season started.
Really?
And they're like, damn it, Joe Burrow is going to ruin it. Because honestly, everyone's talking about Jalen Hurts. You can talk a little bit about Tua, but now that he's hurt, he'd probably fall out of that. Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State, is amazing. And he was at Georgia. Georgia chose to keep Jake Fromm,
which
is fine. It's fine, but Justin Fields is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a fun game to watch, hopefully. Also at 11 a.m. on ABC, number 5, Oklahoma at Kansas State. Kansas State's not fun or at all, but that game in Manhattan, also with the Kansas got a bit of a defense. They can maybe slow Oklahoma down.
So Oklahoma will only score 45?
I'd say the goal is 24, I think, was the line. I think I'd probably think Kansas State will probably cover that just because I think they can slow down Oklahoma. But who knows? Who knows?
I mean, the future is unwritten, Kevin.
Let's go to the SEC Network, Skin. 11 a.m., Texas A&M at Mississippi State.
What?
I think I'm done with A&M.
I'm too.
And this is not no offense to any Aggie fans.
No, I really do. I really do sympathize with the Aggie.
I really do
because if I was an Aggie, I would be telling myself it was a good move too. I would be lying to myself. I mean, we can sit and I know I'm going to get a bunch of horns down and middle finger and all this stuff. I'm just telling you as a realist, you can't compete.
Well, can I say this as a guy who doesn't have a dog in the hunt?
Yeah.
You can't compete.
Yep. No, but one year Johnny did a ton of cocaine, and it was a firework explosion in the sky, and you beat Alabama at Alabama. That is one in a blue fart.
Do you think 10 years at $75 million, you think they're regretting that?
Oh, my God, yes. He came in there and sold them a bill of goods.
Do you think he's regretting that?
No, he got paid.
Here's the thing, too. Like,
what was Florida State doing for him?
If we have... We tend to, like, make these guys into something they are not sometimes, especially in college football.
Yes.
Especially in college football.
Right.
So he had this one great year. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm not saying he doesn't have a track record. I'm not saying that. But what got him here? Jameis? Is that what got him here? That one year of going to the college football playoff with Jameis?
No,
the title?
I mean, he had a good program
there. He won a national title.
Yeah, with Jameis.
Yeah.
But I think in general, he had a really good program.
Okay. No, I agree. 3 straight ACC titles. Yeah, that's great. But hey, how good is the ACC?
Right. And hey, Clemson gets the same benefit.
They sure do. Yeah. Again, I ain't mad at you, Aggies. It's just, I wish things were better.
I understand. Look, I understand the willful stubbornness, but it wasn't a good move.
And it's year two, dude. And he should get time to bring in a quarterback.
I agree.
Okay, that's what he. That I mean, that's the thing that's going to fix it.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, it ain't that different. It's a little different because Tom Herman's won some games here, but dude, like they're going to run. They're going to run Sam Ehlinger back out there next year. They're not going to be a top 10 team. Texas.
The Aggies got mad and went to the SEC because the Longhorns got a crappy football channel that nobody watches, and they got butthurt over it. And now they're getting. Now they're starting every year at 2-5.
And I will happily eat crow in 2 years if they've turned that whole thing around and they're SEC contenders.
I will too. And you know,
I want that to happen.
And by the way, I made. If you remember, Aggies, I did nothing but apologize profusely during the Johnny football year.
Yeah,
I ate all the crow on air all day every day, but that ain't happening again.
And look, I want them to win. But here's the thing. Man. Go blow out Mississippi State in Mississippi State. Because if you're not going to be able to beat, and we'll see what happens, but if you're not going to be able to beat the LSU, the Georgias that you're going to play this year, and Clemson routed them pretty good, if you're not going to be able to win those games, at least go blow out Mississippi State in there when they're playing the stinking Cowbells.
Just like the Longhorns blew out the Jayhawks.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. I mean, all this Aggie stuff, I'm done with the Longhorns, too.
Yeah. I know.
Longhorns fans hate me because I'm generally hard on their prospects.
They should. They should hate you.
2:30 on CBS, number 9 Auburn at number 2 LSU.
I can't wait.
That's going to be fun, man.
I cannot wait. And that's at 2:30, so we'll be at Texas Live for that. Dude, I think, Shippy, that's when our roundtable ends, right?
Yeah,
we're done. Roundtable.
Is that 1:45 or 2 when it's over? I can't remember. I think it's 1:45.
Oh, okay. You probably talk about this off the air.
Eh, don't worry about it.
Let me check my email. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Shippy, talk to the
Wouldn't that be great, though, to leave a round table and go right to the bar, order a beer, and then sit down and start watching football while hanging out with Tolos?
Just have them just pour beer into my mouth while I watch that
Saturday
game.
Is going to be a day. Auburn, I know we've talked about LSU a lot. Auburn's got the freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, who I don't hate yet.
Mm-hmm. Yet?
Yeah. Give him time, right?
Kind of dark outlook on his whole
give
situation.
Him time. Give me time to hate him.
Yeah.
Their defense tackle, Derrick Brown.
Woo! Where does
Boy,
he go?
Cowboys 1-0. Big body in the middle there. Interior defensive lineman. You want that?
He's not going to be there
then
when we pick it.
You're going to have to trade up to the top 10 to get him.
We're not going to be able to get him at 32, Kevin.
Well, got 9 games left. You only won 4 games. You still see what happens.
When we win that Super Bowl.
2:30 on Fox. Number 15, Texas at TCU. Mm-hmm. Texas, a 1-point favorite.
That's at TCU?
At TCU.
That's
how we know things have fallen, right?
Yeah. It's really hard, though, for TCU to be a favorite at home with a coach that's 5'6".
Don't worry about that so much. Can we just, I mean, for a second, I know they put up 50 points. Texas put up 50 points.
Right?
Why is everyone so hot and heavy on them still? How are they still in the top 15?
Texas? They shouldn't.
I was talking to my brother. He's like, dude, they need to drop like 7 spots even if they win this game.
No,
and he's
right. You can't drop
Kansas?
Them. I know. You can't drop them that many spots for a win, but Texas is.
And no offense to Mr. Purdy, who is a big-time Kansas fan, but what are we talking about right now?
I think
Kansas?
I think he's a big-time Kansas fan, and I think even he was like, I'm probably not going to watch the game this weekend.
2:30, North Texas at Charlotte.
Jones?
What?
Anderson?
What up, Mizzou, Kentucky?
Why do you keep bringing North Texas stuff to the air?
Why would I not?
Okay.
I mean, look, why don't you be proud about your alma mater, sir?
Sure.
UNT 3-4. They need to get the win. They get the win, they get back to 4-4. Losing Graham Harrell hurt them. I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
Losing Graham Harrell hurt them.
Shots fired at Seth Luttrell.
6 on ESPN. Arkansas at number 1 Alabama with no Tua T.
How about that?
Yeah.
Arkansas's not good.
Now, who's the Alabama quarterback behind? I should know that, right?
I mean, you're asking me, and I don't know.
I know.
Shippy's going to say it's Mizzou.
Hey, guys, I just got in the card. What'd you guys say about the Mizzou game?
His name is Mac Jones.
Mizzou,
that's
Kentucky.
That's a great name.
God, that's so Alabama.
Yeah.
Mac Jones played high school in Jacksonville. Oh, they were a powerhouse. Would you believe that, Skin?
I heard old Mac Jones going to play this weekend.
He chose to. Okay, Jones knew how good Tua was, but chose to commit to Alabama anyway as a second quarterback in the recruiting class. So I guess they're going to chalk that up to his competitive nature. I don't really know. Hey, physically he's average, is what it says.
Well, so that means a subpar terribly terrible Arkansas team will go in there and still lose.
6:30, Boston College at number 4, Clemson. You were calling for Clemson to slip somewhere.
This is the one.
So here's 5 teams right now. Well, okay. I'm going to keep Penn State in there because they're undefeated.
Right.
Okay. So it's Alabama.
Yep.
Clemson, no order here. Alabama, Clemson, LSU,
my guys.
Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State.
Yes. I think, yes. Well,
in 2 weeks, LSU and Alabama play each other.
Yes.
And then we'll see if there's another meeting between whoever goes and wins that side of the conference.
Right.
We'll have to go play likely Georgia or whoever or Auburn in the other side of the conference. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting that the somebody's going to slip. I don't think Clemson's going to slip up to Boston College.
We'll see.
6:30 on ABC. Number 8, Notre Dame at number 19, Michigan.
Oh, man. Is this the death of Harbaugh?
Possibly. I mean, you look at Notre Dame, and they always find a way to sneak around a little bit. I'm never terribly impressed when I watch them play.
No.
But I am always come away from it going, yeah, they're going to find a way to stay in the top 10. Because, they schedule. I give them credit because they do. They play tough teams.
No, but you've had this experience. There's one moment every football season where you look up and go, Notre Dame's that high?
Yeah, it sucks.
Really? God.
I kind of just want them to go away.
I do, too. All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We are here at the Pluckers in Allen. And, boy, are we distracted by food that got set down in front of us. Would love it if you came out. I really do like the fact that there are so many Tolos here having lunch. Some of them even drinking beer at lunchtime.
Like those
are
my thanks for dinner.
They're toasting. Everybody, if you're sipping a cold beer, toast it right now in the air. Wings and beer, the greatest American tradition since, fireworks. So come on out here to join us. We're in Allen. We've got lots of good stuff still on the clock. But one of the things we did at the beginning of the year, KT. Oh, you know what? Let's give away a chance to win $1,000. You want to do that?
Sure.
All right. Right now, it's the Turn It On, Leave It On National Cash Contest. It continues, and each hour, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000. All you got to do is text the word of the hour to 72881, and the word of the hour is topic. T-O-P-I-C, topic. Like when someone comes in and questions the topics that you've chosen.
It's a huge topic.
Topic, T-O-P-I-C, text that into 72881 for a chance to win $1,000, Kevin.
So Mike Sando at The Athletic did this whole thing at the beginning of the year, or does it every year. He asked 55 coaches and evaluators to put the quarterbacks in tiers.
Yes.
Now, here are the tiers real quick, just for a reason.
Is this from the start of the season?
Yes.
Okay.
Tier 1, they can carry their team each week.
Yep.
The team wins because of him, right?
Yep.
Tier 2.
Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
Brady and those guys. Tier 2 can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations and doses.
Yep.
And then, they've got other dimensions to their game that can elevate them above Tier 3, but has a hole or two in his game. Tier 3 is a legitimate starter, but needs stronger running game and her defense to win. A lower volume passing offense makes his job easier.
Yep.
Tier 4 could be an unproven player with some upside or a veteran who's ultimately best suited as a backup.
Case Keenum.
Tier 5, not a starter, period. Right? So now they've just kind of done updated tiers.
And we should
7 weeks.
We should remind everybody that at the beginning of the year, they had Dak Prescott as a upper tier 3 quarterback.
They had him as a 2.75.
So a 3 would have gotten him.
I think it was like a 2.76. Yeah, it's a 2.75. So they're rounding him up to a tier 3 guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is probably fine going into the year. Now I would say he's a tier 2 guy.
Okay, I thought he was a top tier 3, almost tier 2. You're saying he was...
He was a 2.7 something, but they rounded up.
Gotcha.
To a 3.
Yep.
All right. So, now they're just doing some updates.
Okay.
Trending up. Started the season as a tier 4, a high tier 4. Is now projected for next year to be a 2 or a 3. Lamar Jackson.
You got no problem with that, do you?
You know what? Not a comparison.
Yep.
Okay. But the way that he played against Seattle the other day, and the way I've kind of seen him play sometimes, because look, I think Lamar Jackson can throw better than he gets credit for.
Right.
By the way, he should have had 3 touchdown passes the other day, but Mark Andrews dropped a bunch of balls the other day.
That's the OU tight end.
The OU tight end. Yeah. But the way that he can kind of just start making things happen, it's very reminiscent of 2013 Manziel.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just kind of reminds me of that. Because it was like 3rd and 8. Okay, no one's going to be able to tackle him there because he's all over the place. And I'm not comparing the players at all.
Right.
I also think back to when years ago, the Falcons made the playoffs, and they were not division winners. They were a wild card team. And Michael Vick wasn't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And they went to Lambeau Field, and it was the first time the Packers had lost a playoff game at Lambeau Field in years because there were no answer for Michael Vick.
Right.
He could just go do it.
Right.
And I think Lamar Jackson could go do that to the Patriots. I think he could go do that to the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs, clearly he could do that to them.
Right.
But, like, I think if a team was going to get upset by Baltimore, who's not a complete team yet, you know.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think he could go sneak out a couple of playoff wins just by doing it. So
yeah.
Look at that quarterback class. Of those five guys, who would you rather have? Baker, Darnold, Josh Allen, Rosen, or Lamar?
Okay, wait. That's the class? Yeah, because he's in his second year. Rosen,
I'll give them to you in order.
Yeah, Darnold went number one.
No.
Do you want two?
Baker.
Baker one. Yeah, my
Baker,
bad.
Baker, Darnold, yep. Allen, Rosen, Lamar Jackson.
I mean, I'm not ready to give up on Baker yet. I know a lot of people are jumping off that ship. He's got tendencies that will drive you crazy.
Like saying hut and then rolling out to the right and throwing the ball into the crowd?
I would say right now.
I mean,
I would say right now I'd be more inclined to take Darnold over any of them.
Okay. Even after seeing ghosts.
I mean, dude, they're all going to see ghosts. Who are the quarterbacks that just show up and have it all together? Mahomes, basically. I would say Darnold. And then I would have Lamar and Baker in the same tier.
Yeah.
And then I would have Allen and Rosen significantly behind those guys.
All right. All right. Next, Russell Wilson. He started the year as a low one. He's now a mid one.
Yeah. He's the best quarterback in football
this year.
He had a bad week last week. You know, he had some moments last week, I should say.
We were talking about this whole thing with, like, hey, what is he? When we were having Dak contract talks all offseason. Mm-hmm. Is he a top 12 guy, you know, whatever? Well, if you look at Andrew Luck retiring, and you look at Ben Roethlisberger getting hurt and probably fading out of that, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm watching Philip Rivers play. There are times that I go, I don't know if he should still be playing because his arm is just jacked. Matt Ryan has no protection. I still think Matt Ryan's good.
Yeah.
He has no protection.
You know how I feel on Russ, though. I had Russ ahead of all those guys.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Russ is now going to be that guy, much like we talked about Brady and Breeze. And I guess Rodgers kind of got put up in that, you know, even though he's a little younger than those guys.
Right.
By about 5 years younger than those guys.
But we've seen him
do
incredible.
But we went Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, in whatever order.
Right.
Russell's with those guys now.
I think he is, too.
There's just no debate, man. He is so good.
He is so freaking good.
Let's go to trending down Baker Mayfield. Started as a low two. He was ahead of Dak.
How about that?
He is now a low three.
Yeah, man.
Okay,
but you know what, dude? I bet if you went and looked at those quarterback tiers from the end of Dak's rookie year to the early part of his second year, I bet you'd see all the same crap.
One evaluator said this. He's the opposite of Lamar Jackson. Instead of identifying what he needed to work on to keep progressing, Baker made commercials.
All right.
How old school football guy is that?
That's the opinion of a guy that my dad plays cards with.
Man, well, he's never going to get better if he keeps doing those insurance commercials. Every time I'm watching a game, I see Baker and his girlfriend in every commercial break.
I haven't seen a game this year, but, man.
Unfortunately, it was kind of like what happened with RG3 going into his sophomore year.
Yes.
You know every player in the NFL sees it. You know it gets brought up. Has this guy done enough to be on every other commercial?
Yes.
Now you have defensive players rubbing his nose in it.
Right. I mean, dude.
He's not in every commercial.
No, he's
just got two, like, really big name ones.
This is analysis hyperbole, but, you know, they want to say something worthy of sticking in the article. But, dude, it's crazy to give up on Baker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I believe. I'm with you on that. I'm not giving up. I'm just.
You're having your doubts.
I had questions going into it.
I know.
That's what, you know.
I never thought he was going to be the number one pick, and like, he was the number one pick. And
Kavanaugh was way more sold on Baker than I was. I liked Baker. But
he watched every Sooner game religiously.
Yeah, absolutely. Goff was a low two. Now projecting to be a 2-3. Goff's stock is falling a lot. And here's the problem. There's no other dimension to his game that separates him from the pack. And this is where I think, in the end, Dak is going to continue to get ahead of Wentz and Goff.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think Dak's probably going to be 31 or 32 when he stops running a lot. You know? Yeah. I mean, look at Russell. Russell saves it.
Right. And when he uses it, he burns you every frickin' time.
And Dak doesn't use it as a primary weapon. It's just a thing that he has. Right. You know? Goff can't move. And I know we think about the playoff game and losing to the Rams when he did roll out and all that. But Goff can't move.
His beauty is that he is an incredibly accurate passer when he has time. Incredibly accurate. Like, pinpoint passing.
This is what one evaluator said. He says, this was an offensive coach around the league who said this. He said, they've had offensive line issues, and that's taken a toll on him, but I think they're locked into doing the same things. People have caught up with them, in my opinion. Sean McVay, boy wonder.
Right. What's your counterpunch, homie?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Let's move it on to Marcus Mariota, low 3, now projecting to be a high 4.
Oh, man. I had such high hopes for him. I thought he was going to be a baller.
I was not high on him.
Going into the draft. I remember that. I remember you weren't high on him. I do remember that.
I wasn't a huge fan of...
You didn't like him because he was a nice guy that didn't drink.
Yeah, I need my quarterbacks to drink a little bit.
Yeah, Don Merritt
like
style.
Dandy Don on the plane.
It's a good one, boys. It's been a good one. Every grown men are screaming and he's toasting his whiskey. That's the greatest hero story of all time.
It's the difference of being like a leader of men. Okay, Marcus is a leader of men, but he doesn't have much arm strength and he looks at the sideline and says, what half of the field am I going to read, Oregon? You know, that's the way he partied. And, like, it's caught up to him. And, look, he's been hurt, all that stuff. Some other quarterbacks of interest.
Well, hold on. How much more of this do you have? Because I wouldn't mind carrying this over.
Let's do it. Let's do some more of it at 12:40.
With the Dak stuff?
It's going to tie in with the Dak stuff, and we will get to Dak.
Okay, because I do want to hear the rest of these.
Yeah.
But coming up next, we have the audio from the locker room last night of what Bradley Beal said about Luka Doncic. You're going to want to hear this. It's next right here on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.